You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pray and get us kicked off, and then we're going to, get into this thing. All right. Here we go. Father, I thank you for every single person that is joining this broadcast today. I thank you, Father, that they are here by divine appointment. I thank you that you are doing something that is beyond really our ability to grasp with our natural minds. You are moving across this planet. You are moving in our lives. You are moving in the body of Christ in phenomenal ways. And I thank you, Father, that this current move of the Holy Spirit is a continuation of the move of God that has been happening since the day of Pentecost. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is active. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is in us. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us into all truth, the truth that sets us free, the truth that causes the manifestation of the sons of God. And so today, Father, as we dive into this broadcast, I ask you, Father, just to articulate spiritual realities to people today, Father. I ask you to elevate our perception, to elevate our ability to perceive what you are doing and to hear what you are speaking. Father, cause us to settle down into our union with you. Cause us to operate, Father, in ways that are higher than human ways. Cause us to recognize the reality of heaven right now, Father, as a dimension that is always in us and always available. Father, I just release what you are saying and what you are doing today, and I offer myself as a living sacrifice, Lord. Just speak through me, guide my thoughts, guide my words, and I pray, Father, that my words would not be spoken in the words of man's wisdom, of the enticing words of man's wisdom, but they would be in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that our faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I pray all of these things, and I thank you for that and much, much more, all the things I don't even know to ask for. And I thank you that you're doing it according to your name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, awesome, you guys. We are here back in part two of our Supernatural by Design series. And it's been a supernatural week since I've been with you last. And I'll kick it off today with just a little bit of review of part one. Really, in part one, I was just setting the stage. I was setting the stage about how the supernatural is not optional, that the supernatural is by design, our design, that we are not just mere human beings, that the kingdom of God comes with power and the kingdom of God is inside of us. And I talked about even how Jesus could do no mighty works in his own hometown because of people's unbelief. And I talked about the tragedy of that happening in the body of Christ today. I talked about the lack of miracles as a normal occurrence in our lives and in our church services and just in the gatherings that we participate in. And it wasn't meant to be a criticism as much as it was just an observation. And, you know, I want to just say this today, that the Holy Spirit is leading us into a profound awakening in the body of Christ. We are coming into alignment with the mind of God. We are coming into the place where we are embodying Yahweh, where we are embodying Jesus Christ to such a degree that the Father is the one that is manifesting the kingdom through us. And that may not sound really profound to you guys, but I'm telling you, ever since the word of the year that I gave back on January 6th, which, by the way, if you've not heard that broadcast, please go back and listen to it. It is jam-packed full of progression, of progressive revelation that God has been walking me through, honestly, since the beginning of December. And I believe that it is a right now word for this hour, and it's a right now word for the body of Christ. In fact, so much so that I spent this weekend transcribing that word and editing it a little bit and putting it into what I have it here with me, a little, you know, kind of book format that I am going to make available to everyone. I just feel the strategic nature of just what God is speaking and even bringing us into this podcast of Supernatural by Design. I feel like there is an opportunity here, an invitation into operating in a level of the supernatural, in a level of manifestation of heaven on earth that is far beyond what you and I have experienced before. And when I talk about us being supernatural by design, I think it's really important that we recognize the reality of Christ in us. And I know that we talk about it a lot here on this podcast. I mean, union with God is the foundation of pretty much everything that I talk about. It's the foundation really of my message. I am here really on this planet to heal the illusion of separation from God and help people redefine their I. And when I say their I, when we say, you know, I am or who am I? Well, our I is Christ. And with that assignment comes the supernatural fruit of the supernatural. Okay, the supernatural is supernatural fruit of our union with Jesus. And it really what I'm saying in this podcast is that the supernatural is not optional. It is not optional for sons of God. It is the natural fruit of our abiding in Jesus and Jesus abiding in us to such a degree that he becomes our very self, capital S. And what he is our self, capital S. But are we aware of it, and are we operating in that place where we have offered ourselves as a living sacrifice, and Jesus is manifesting himself through us as us? So let's revisit the scripture that I talked about, honestly, in the Word of the Year, but is also the foundational scripture for this series. Okay, it comes out of Romans 12:1, and I'm going to read it to you out of the Mirror Translation. Okay, this is a really, really powerful scripture. And here's what it says. It says, live consistent with who you really are. And I underlined that. Live consistent with who you really are. Inspired by the loving kindness of God, the most practical expression of worship is to make your bodies available to him as a living sacrifice. This pleases him more than any religious routine. He desires to find visible, individual expression in your purpose, in your person. Let me say that last line again. He desires to find visible, individual expression in your person. And what I want to say about this scripture as we tie it into this series, right, is that if we are going to live consistent with who we really are, then we are going to live supernaturally. And if God is desiring to find visible individual expression in our person, then that is going to be a supernatural expression. It is going to be a visible manifestation of the kingdom of God flowing through our lives. It is going to be the manifestation of miracles. Let me just say that, okay? And so God, our union with God is not just an identity that we enjoy, although we do enjoy it. It's an expression of our true personhood. And that expression of our true personhood is God himself. It is God of the universe. It is the God that worked every single miracle that we read about in scripture. And beloved, we have the very same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living inside of us. We have the resurrected King living inside of us, and we have the spirit that resurrected the King living inside of us. And so this reality, okay, and I call it a reality, it is meant to be expressed. It's meant to be experienced. It's meant to be manifested. Okay, yes, it is a way of being. The expression of God and our union with God is designed to be our true sense of self and our foundation of our very being. And when I say being, our existence, the fact that we are self-aware, the fact that we are conscious, right? That is the foundation of our consciousness. It is the reason that we have consciousness, but it is also the reality of God expressing itself through our being. So if we are going to learn how to live supernatural by design, then the very first thing that we have to do is we've got to get our eye right. And that's kind of a little bit of a double innuendo, because it means we've got to get our eye single. We've got to get our eye right. But it also means that we need to get the personal pronoun of I right as well. Okay. I mean, we live in a world system. Okay. We live in under the spirit of this age that has been operating since the fall of Adam. And since the fall of Adam, since Adam and Eve's eyes were opened, okay, the concept of a separated self has been permeating the planet. And this separated self is a natural human being, okay? It is a human being that is led by their physical senses. It is led by a mind that is operating separate from revelation and the wisdom of God. And it is an identity that is a construct that is built over the course of our lives, because we're born into a world that is steeped in separation. And so over the course of our lives, we begin to identify and form an identity and a self and an I, okay, a little self, I mean, a self with a capital, with a lowercase s rather, and an I that is separate from God. And so this identity that we operate out of is the limitation of the flesh, right? It is a construct of the human mind. And so the work of Jesus and the work of the cross and the work of his burial and resurrection and ascension was to eradicate anything and everything that in fact would operate in any way separate from him. God was in Christ reconciling the cosmos to himself. And so everything finds itself in him. There is, you know, we live and we move and we have our being inside of God. Christ is the cohesive force. He's like more than the force, but he's the cohesive person that is Christ, that is holding all things together. And he has entangled himself with us, right? He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And so the problem of this little s, right? This problem of identifying with an I that isn't Christ is that it causes us to live according to the wisdom of men. It causes us to live natural lives. It causes toil. It causes striving. It causes performance. It causes a relationship with God that is based upon rules that we need to follow in order to connect with him, rather than the gospel and the truth that we are one with him. And so when I talk about being supernatural by design, I'm talking about recognizing our true design, recognizing who we really are, and getting our I correct. And when I say that, but this personal pronoun I, isn't it interesting that in the English language that it's always capitalized, that there's just a capital I when we refer to the pronoun of I? Why is that? Because truly there is only one I, the great I am. And God, the great I am, is the true source and true self that has joined himself to you, commingling and entangling himself with you in your spirit, so that your I gets completely redefined by his I. This is why in Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ, right? So there's these I's. I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So I was crucified. There's an I that was crucified, and there's an I that lives. And we need to get our eyes straight and recognize that by design, We are the living embodiment of the Godhead, that we are the physical component of the Godhead here on the earth, which brings me back to the encounter that I shared that I had on New Year's Eve of 2024 that led into the Word of the Year for 2025. And I talked about this profound experience that I had in the waking moments of New Year's Eve. And I was in this dream state, and I'm just going to share it again for those of you that haven't heard about the encounter or haven't listened to the Word of the Year yet. But in this early phases of me waking up in the morning, you know, I was in this dream state. I wasn't yet awake, but I wasn't totally asleep either. And I had this experience, and I don't even know if it's a dream. I don't even know what to call it, except it was this encounter with God. And as I laid in bed with my eyes closed, okay, I had a vision or a dream or an encounter, whatever you want to call it. And even though I was laying in bed, okay, my eyes opened in the spirit, in this vision, my eyes opened. My body was still in bed. My eyes were still closed in the natural, but in the spirit, I saw myself laying there in bed exactly in that, that same place that I was laying in the natural, but, and I was in myself, in my body. But when my eyes opened, they were not my eyes. They were the eyes, and it's very interesting that God referred to himself as Yahweh in this encounter. Well, he didn't say Papa, he didn't say Father, which is how, you know, God and I always address one, you know, it's how I address God all the time. I'm like Papa, that's how I address the Father. But this was a very specific Yahweh's eyes. And as Yahweh's eyes opened as my eyes, it was a very, very profound experience of Yahweh inhabiting my body and Yahweh embodying my body and being my true self. Myself was his self was myself. And there was this complete commingling of his vision with my vision. And, you know, I knew through that experience, right, that's why I'm on this scripture in Romans 12, 1, that it was an experience of God, Yahweh, using my body as, and I was simply the living sacrifice, right? I was offering up, or he had taken over, I guess. I didn't really do anything except experience it. But there was this taking over of my physical body by Yahweh. And I knew in that moment that that was necessary, that that was a necessary aspect. It was the culmination, really. It was the point of the gospel. It was the reason that we're called the body of Christ, because God wants to use his body, and we are his body, the physical component of the expression of God. And through that physical expression of God, we have the legal right to have dominion in the material realm. The physical body is the material component, obviously, of us, but it's the material component of the body of Christ. And this body is powerful, right? This body can interact with the unseen realm and the physical realm to bring unseen reality, okay, into seen reality. This body is what gives us legal access to manifest heaven on earth. And I knew that God wants to use our eyes, and he wants our eyes to truly be single, right? So that our bodies would be filled with light. Isn't that an interesting way that Jesus described that in Matthew 6? He said, if your eyes are single, your body will be filled with light. And so the single eye is this work of the Holy Spirit in this hour across the planet to get us into a place where our eye is his eye. And it is his, obviously, his eyes, right? It is his eye that is single, but it is also his I is in the personal pronoun. And so this is a concept that I'm doing my very best to convey to you right now, that this is exactly the work of God that is happening in our lives, that we truly are supernatural by design, by new birth, by the recreation of us in Christ. And we were born from above, recreated in Christ for good works, okay? For works that are supernatural works. That's Ephesians, you guys. Let me just go over there in the Amplified Classic Version just to put this in context, because I don't really want to butcher the scripture. And right now, my mind is a little bit in the spirit. At the same time, it's in the natural. And so I just want to go over and read it. So Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified Classic, here's what it says. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew or born from above. Let me stop here for a moment, because it's easy to read this scripture from the perspective of separation. Like we are the potter and God is the clay, all right? Rather than we being this earthen vessel that is inhabited by God. And what I mean by that is that we can just think of ourselves as like this masterpiece that God created, that he shaped and formed and created us. And there's still this separation from God. But the masterpiece that God created us to be is the very house of Yahweh. It is this crafting of his body, which is us, so that he can inhabit his body. We've been born from above. It says, recreated in Christ Jesus. So this masterpiece was a recreation of the human race to be the habitation of Yahweh. And it says here that we were born from above, recreated in Christ Jesus, that we might do good works, that we might do, let me say this, supernatural works. God wants to manifest himself supernaturally, or what we would call supernaturally, through us as our eye with a single eye. Okay, wow. And even a single eye is pretty interesting, because obviously it's referring to our eyes, right? You know, but a single eye is also the point of the new creation. There is one eye. It is the eye that lives in Christ. It's not the eye that was crucified. It's not the eye that we imagined ourselves to be. It's not the eye that we were programmed into as a result of living in a separated consciousness that we inherited, through the fall. No, this is a merging. This is a rediscovering of our true source, our true identity, and our true I. And so the single I is this coming into alignment and agreement and into a way of being and operating, that our I is Christ. And it is also coming into a way of being so that our eyes and his eyes become single, so that Yahweh can view the material realm through our eyes. Yahweh can use our physical body to manifest unseen reality, to manifest heaven's reality on planet Earth. This is how Jesus operated. This morning I was reading just in one particular scripture, and I'm going to go over there. But if you read the Gospels with this revelation in mind, and really as a lens through which you view how Jesus operated, then you will get fresh revelation from really the miracles that Jesus did and how he operated as a single I, how he operated in the I am of God, even calling himself before Abraham, I am, right? I am the resurrection. I am the life, capital I. The Father and I are one at one I, and Jesus operated with a single I. So I'm going to just read, just one place that I was reading this morning. Yeah, I'm just in the New King James Version here, and I'm going to read a little bit of John 6. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And it says, then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. Okay, so this great multitude is following Jesus because of healing miracles. And it says, and Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And I think this is interesting, the way the King James says this. In verse 5, it says, then Jesus lifted up his eyes. And it says it a little bit later in this story as well. And it says, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Okay, so there's this scenario going on in this story, right? Jesus and the disciples are up on a mountain, and in the distance, they're seeing a great multitude approach, okay? And so Jesus is about to speak to Philip, and he's going to talk to him about this problem that there's this multitude coming and that is going to need some food. And in the natural, there was not enough food to feed the multitude. Okay. And so he asks Philip a question. Now, the interesting thing about this question that he asks, he knows the answer of what he's going to do already. So he's asking Philip, where are we going to buy bread for these people? But Jesus already knew the answer to the question he was asking Philip. Now I'm going to stop here. I'm going to go on to this in a moment, because the story is basically Philip giving a natural answer to the question. And I have been sitting with God really even since last week, really spending a lot of time with God, waiting on God, unpacking the word of the year, the things that God has been speaking to me about this move of God to bring us into a place where Yahweh is manifesting himself as us, where our eyes are single, where we are synchronized with his vision and his perceptions. And I've been sitting with this. And, you know, my word, personal word for the year is wisdom. And so I've been really seeking God for more insight, more revelation, for more wisdom. And one of the things that I have noticed that is really, really interesting that God's been doing with me as he's been answering questions that I haven't asked, okay? And it's really very interesting, because what it has pointed out to me is that many times in my conversations with God, I am having a conversation at a level of consciousness, at a level of perception that is probably the same level of consciousness and level of perception that Philip was operating with in this story, right? I am coming at the conversation from a place of human understanding. I'm coming at the into the conversation with natural thinking about whatever the conversation is I'm having with the Father. And so what God is doing, and he's working right now to elevate my consciousness, right? And at a higher level of consciousness, the consciousness that Jesus was operating in, right? This I am consciousness, this consciousness of being one with the Father, where there is no separation. Well, guess what? That I am consciousness gives supernatural solutions. It gives the wisdom and the perception of God in any situation that we walk into. And so I also find it interesting that Jesus asked questions a lot. Who do men say that I am, right? Where shall we buy bread that this multitude may eat, right? Where is your faith? Why did you doubt, right? I mean, there are questions that Jesus was speaking to his disciples really in an effort to elevate their level of consciousness so that they would come out of and into a place where the supernatural is the default place that they're receiving answers, that it's the default, the mind of God becomes the default place, that a strategy for any situation is our source of that strategy. And so, you know, it says here that he said this to test him, for he knew himself what he would do. So God was, you know, him and Jesus operating as one. There was no scenario that Jesus walked into where he did not have the supernatural answer to whatever the issue was. You know, the famous quote by Einstein is that you cannot solve a problem on the same level of consciousness that created it. And what is so powerful about that is that it is true about the gospel, right? The gospel the gospel is the announcement of God solving the problem for the human race, right? The law was this like human, you know, attempt or this legal set of rules that humans followed, but it did not recreate the human race, right? You could follow the law perfectly. You could be called righteous according to the law. You could offer sacrifices, you know, for eternity, but it was not going to recreate the human race. It was not going to put us into God himself and put God himself into us and completely redefine our I. And so it says this, of course, Philip comes in verse 7. He comes back and he says, well, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may have a little. So he's looking at, you know, his natural resources. He's looking at his bank account or whatever, his money bag, whatever it is, the money bag. And he says, we don't have enough money to feed all of these people. It's not enough, right? And then Andrew, it says in verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, well, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? So first they go and consult their natural resources, okay? We don't have enough money to do this, and we don't have enough food in the natural. So we don't have enough food, and we don't have enough money to buy food to feed this multitude. So in the natural, there was not a solution to the problem of feeding the multitude. But Jesus, operating out of I am consciousness, operating out of union with the Father, operating as Yahweh in a physical body, with Yahweh using his physical body, but Jesus also operating with spiritual perception, was doing the works of the Father, doing the good works, the supernatural works that God had preordained for Jesus to do. In the same way, we have been preordained to do good works in the same way that Jesus did them, as the embodiment of Yahweh with spiritual perception. Now, I say this because one of the answers that God gave me to a question I wasn't asking this week and an encounter that God led me through that I'm still unpacking because it's just a strange question. It was a strange, I don't know what else to call it. I'm not even going to go into it because I still am looking for, I'm still sitting with what's the interpretation of this. But one of the questions, I mean, I didn't ask the question, but the answer was spiritual perception. And so spiritual perception is really also the one way to think about the experience that I had New Year's Eve. That God is elevating our perception. Why? Because an elevation of consciousness elevates our perception. It causes us to view reality different. You know, I've talked about the map of consciousness with Dave Hawkins, you know, a lot on the broadcast. I definitely coach a lot of it on it a lot in my programs. I talk about it in Elevate. I talk about it in Emerge. I talk about it in the Emerge graduate programs. Why? Because Dr. David Hawkins created a scale of the various levels of human consciousness. And it's organized by emotional type frequencies. The lowest level is shame, which calibrates a 20, according to Dr. Hawkins' map. And it goes all the way up to 1,000, which is the level of enlightenment. Obviously, Jesus was operating at the level of enlightenment because at the level above around 500, 600, 700, and you go on up is where the illusion of separation starts to disappear. And I'm sharing that because this idea of spiritual perception and perception in general varies according to the level of human consciousness. So it makes sense when Einstein said that you cannot solve a problem at the same level of consciousness that creates it, that part of the problem is our perception of the problem. And using this example of Jesus and the multitude, you can see that what Jesus perceived when he was looking at the problem of we don't have enough food to feed this multitude, what Jesus perceived was a spiritual solution to a physical problem. Where Andrew and Philip were perceiving natural resources to solve a natural problem. And so spiritual perception is an elevated perception. Every single level of each level of consciousness has a corresponding paradigm of reality, a corresponding paradigm of the way that it views everything, and it has a perception of the world as well. There's an example that I use a lot when I teach on the map of consciousness, or I teach on the various levels of human consciousness. And I talk about this example. I talk about like the way that every level of consciousness might perceive a homeless person. Okay. A homeless person sitting on the side of the street. If you walk up and you are in the consciousness level of shame at a level 20, well, you are going to feel ashamed for that homeless person. Okay. If you move up the scale a little bit and you move into maybe the consciousness level of anger, well, guess what? You're going to be angry that that homeless person is sitting here on the corner begging for food. You're going to be offended by that. You're going to be, you know, angry that somebody's not doing something about this homeless person, right? Now you move up the scale and you move more into empathy and you move more into, you may feel sorry for the homeless person. You move up into higher levels into reasoning, and you may try to figure out a way to help the homeless person, right? You move up the scales a little bit further, and you may see this homeless person as actually the free person that's been freed from the constraints of society's rules, and you know, and that there's free, this guy's operating with freedom that you don't have. You move up the scales higher, and you will begin to identify and have nothing but love for this homeless person. Right? So there's a perception and an interpretation. There are perceptional filters that come with the various levels of perception. And what I am describing here is an elevation of perception. It's an elevation of consciousness. It's an elevation where our supernatural design, because of our union with God, begins to kick in and operate. And we become not only just the house and the vessel and the body for God to operate in, but we share in his perception of reality. And in scripture, in the gospels, you can see over and over and over again how Jesus was operating at a higher level of consciousness and a higher level of perception. He had spiritual perception, not just natural perception. So, let me keep reading. Here we go into verse 10, and now Jesus begins to operate in the supernatural wisdom of God, operating out of the strategy of Yahweh, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, to solve this natural problem. He says, make the people sit down. This was the first step he had them do. Have everybody sit down. He said, now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in a number about 5,000. It says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down. Let me say that again. When he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciple to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. Okay. And then the very next part of this chapter is when Jesus starts walking on water, and he tells and he scares everybody. He tells them not to be afraid. But anyway, the point is that Jesus was operating at a much higher level than most of us are operating out of. And what is the difference? Like, what is really the difference between how Jesus was operating and just operating in miracles and signs? I mean, multiplying bread by simply blessing it and then having the disciples distribute it. I mean, this was a supernatural multiplication of matter, okay? Physical bread, physical fish that began to multiply, and matter began to become more matter. Like, this was a material miracle, right? There was something happening in the material realm that provided physical food for the multitude. Like, this is the capacity that we carry. Okay, we carry the same capacity, because the capacity is Jesus, the capacity is Yahweh, to multiply matter, to take limited resources in the natural realm and physically multiply them. Now, if I don't share this with you, then you won't even recognize that this is normal. This is normal for Yahweh. This is normal for God, right? To take physical matter and multiply it. And when Jesus said we would do the same works that he did and even greater works because he was going to the Father and obviously was going to, you know, propagate new sons of God and, you know, reconcile all things to himself, reconcile the cosmos to himself and create a brand new creation, which included all of creation, the complete undoing of Adam, right? When he said that's where he was going to do in the Father, and that because he was going to do that, we would do the same works that he does and even greater works than he does. He was saying that you're going to do them the same way that I do them. Your eye is going to be my eye, and there will be no separation of I anymore. There will not be an I, an independent I, you know, a self, a little self that is separated from me. No, I'm going to commingle and entangle myself with all of creation and including you. I'm going to baptize you in my spirit, and you are going to be an expression of God in the earth as you offer yourself as a living sacrifice. So, goodness, I've said a lot today in the time that we've had. And it really is a continuation of the things that I was hearing coming into the new year. And the kingdom of God does come with power. Why? Because it comes with you. And you are the carrier of the power of God. Why? Because you're the carrier of God. Why? Because you and God are one. And this continuation that I am sharing about the things that I have heard, the things that God is speaking, is very, very relevant to what God is doing on the planet right now. Another question, and I'll end with this, and then I'm going to invite you guys to join me in Elevate this month, okay? We are launching the training next Monday. I'm finalizing the content right now. The transcript for the word of the month is going to be the foundation for the content this month. I'm calling it the embodiment of Yahweh. And it is going to be a deep dive into the things that I am hearing God speak about what he is doing in our lives right now. And I just want to end with this. There was another question that God answered for me this week. And it really has to do with my assignment, and it has to do with why you are even connected to me. There is, you know, everything that God does is purposeful. It is by design. And I just want to say that I believe with all of my heart that you would not be listening to my voice. You would not be watching these broadcasts. You would not even be hearing the message that I am sharing for the word of the year and that I am expanding on today and in this series, unless God did not bring you here by design. And so one of the questions that God answered me this week is concerning you, and it's concerning the word of the year. Now, remember, the word of the year is the way that I want to manifest myself through you as you is mind-blowing. Let me say it again. The way that I want to manifest myself through you as you is mind-blowing. And the answer that he answered for me, the question that I didn't even know I was asking, and it was this, and here was the question. I got the question after. Okay. And the question is, what are we building? And this is what God said. He says, you're building a movement. We are building a movement. And he said, it's a movement of me. It is a move of me. And by the way, me is capitalized. It's a movement of me. It's a move of me movement. Okay. And then he said, you are raising sons and daughters who move as me. So this is about as me consciousness. This is about as he is, so are we in this world. But this is about a redefinition of your I and a redefinition of your me. That God's I and God's me would be me, myself, and I, and his me, myself, and I. That there would be a move of me. There would be a move of God that would be a move of you. That there would be a move of you that would be a move of God. That there is a move of the Holy Spirit across the planet to eradicate the illusion of separation. This is a movement of non-duality. One of the things that I wrote, as I've been, just editing the prophetic word for the year, getting it into a format that we can digest it and study it. One of the things God started speaking to me about, and I wrote it about it in the introduction, is that this move of non-duality is happening across all spheres, right? This isn't just a happening in the body of Christ, that there is a move where the illusion of separation is happening in science with the discoveries in quantum physics. It's happening in all traditions. I mean, and I'm not saying, and I explain it more when I share about it, but I'm not saying that it's all, you know, the idea of Christ consciousness, the idea of oneness consciousness, like this is a message that is happening in a lot of different spheres. Now, granted, it's not all, you know, grounded in Jesus Christ, but I will say the Holy Spirit is so brilliant. The Holy Spirit is working in every level on the map of consciousness. The Holy Spirit knows how to meet people exactly at the level of consciousness they are, just like Jesus was meeting Philip and was meeting Andrew in the level of consciousness that they were at. And the Holy Spirit knows how to elevate us into oneness consciousness. And the Holy Spirit is not as concerned about religious traditions and denominational lines and, you know, the all of the divisions and the separations that, you know, separate humanity's paradigms right now. In fact, it says, you know, in Ephesians chapter 4 that the ministry gifts are going to be here until we all come into the unity of the faith and to the fullness of the stature of Jesus. And so there is a move of God on the earth to eradicate separateness consciousness. And there is a move of God in your life because you're here listening to me right now to elevate you into a place where Yahweh is embodied in your body. So, beloved, if you have not joined Elevate, I really encourage you to do that. You know, since December, we have been walking through God in this progressive revelation leading into this embodiment of Yahweh topic. This is a time to listen, to really listen to what God is doing, to listen at a level that we haven't listened before, at a level that it takes the Holy Spirit to actually lead us into. I mean, it's why the Holy Spirit is answering questions that I'm not asking, because I don't know the questions to ask. In my current level of consciousness, there is a perceptional filter that the Holy Spirit is lifting me out of. And I'm saying that this is what he's doing to all of us. And so I just invite you to join me and Elevate this month and hop on this journey with me, because we're going to be going deep into it, not just in February, but we're going to be going deep into it all year. I've felt so very strongly that this is a time, and really that was coming into December, that this is a time to listen, to really listen, and to allow and to partner and to receive the revelation that God is wanting to impart to us in this hour, that this move of the Spirit is supernatural. Why? Because we are supernatural by design. And so this is a spirit-to-spirit conversation. This is a revelation that requires the Spirit of God to do the work in us so that God can move through us as us. So I'm out of time, beloved. That's all I have time for today. But you can, you know, find out more about Elevate on the website, going over to shalise.com under programs. You'll find Elevate. Hop in, join us this month. We'll be sending out some additional information about that. I'm going to be wrapping up this little ebook that I'm doing of the prophetic word for 2025. And we are going to dive deep into the embodiment of Yahweh this month. And obviously, I'll be talking about it on this, continuing on this podcast as well. It's going to be a part of everything that I'm doing right now. I mean, God is, we are in a shift. We are in a shift because our perception is shifting. Our consciousness is shifting. And we are going to be solving problems this year that our perception of last year could not solve, that our consciousness level of last year could not solve. We are going to be operating with an I that is Christ, and we are going to be doing the same works that Jesus did. Yeah, multiplying matter, healing the sick, but there's going to be a different pattern. There's going to be a different operating system. It is an I am operating system that is going to cause reality to be transfigured. It is going to cause reality to take shape and form and materialize in alignment with what is the reality of heaven. And so this transfiguration of reality is the transfiguration of the human race, but it's also the transfiguration of creation. And it is a powerful move of God. And there is an invitation in this hour to step into it. And I can say that it is supernatural by design, and it is supernatural from start to finish. And the supernatural will not be optional. The supernatural is required. Dominion is required for your destiny, for the works that God preordained for you to accomplish. And it is required for, it is a part of the path that he has laid out before you that you are to walk in. It is a light-filled path. It is a supernatural path. And it is a path that Yahweh walks down with you as you to manifest heaven on earth. So God bless you guys, and we will continue this conversation, and I hope to see you in Elevate this month. It's going to be a powerful, powerful time. And I'm doubling down on this assignment, right? We're raising sons and daughters that operate as me. So God bless you guys. Have a beautiful day. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalise's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose he created you for, then visit us at shalise.com. And watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.